Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is arguably the most well-known verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. I figure it's well-known, and maybe the most well-known, because it's one of the few that I can actually remember. So it's good. Because it's about love. It's a love story about God's love for the world. And it is really kind of the core of what we believe and the core of what God does for us. Love's an important part of our life. And I want to share with you a love story. It involves a gentleman named Glenn Dowling Frazier from Port Deposit, Alabama. Fort Deposit, not Port, Fort. When he was 17 years old, he was in love. Aren't all 17-year-olds in love? But the problem was that he found out that the girl whom he loved had a hankering for somebody else. He was mad, and he was sad, and he was frustrated. So he decided he was going to have himself a drink away his misery. So he went into the local bar in Fort Deposit, sat down, and lo and behold, the owner of the bar wouldn't serve him. He said, "Glenn, I know you. You're 17. You can't drink till you're 18. And so Glenn stormed off, he got into his motorcycle, he started down the road, he turned around in his motorcycle, and he drove that motorcycle straight through the middle of that bar, causing all kinds of problems and all kinds of damage, to the point that as he drove away, the bar owner was chasing him down the road with a shotgun. So once he came to his senses, he realized he was pretty much in a whole heap of trouble, so he's trying to figure out what he could do. He didn't want to go home because he was afraid to go home to face his parents. He didn't want to go back into town because he was really afraid of running into the local sheriff. And so he went to the local recruiting office. Lied about his age, and in 1941, that summer, joined the United States Army. Phew. Safe and free. Glenn was a bright boy. He knew what was going on in Europe. He knew there was a war happening there, and so he made the decision that he was going to go to Asia, where it was safe, where it was calm, and he found himself stationed in the Philippines. You can only imagine his sense of fear and maybe not making the right choice in life when he was part of the 78,000 U.S. soldiers who partook in the largest surrender ever in U.S. Army history. And he became one of those who was part of what's known as the Bataan Death March. He survived the march, found himself in Camp O'Donnell in the Philippines, and was there living under the horrific treatment. But before the invasion of the Japanese in Philippines, Glenn received a letter. It was from her, and she said that he was wrong, that she was his girl. And he held on to that letter, and it was that love he found within those words, within that letter, that kept him determined that he was going to survive the horrible things that were going on around him. And as hundreds of prisoners died each day in Camp O'Donnell, Glenn was determined that he was going to survive just because of that love. At one point, he was assigned to dig a mass grave for the people who died, and he was so unsure that he was going to survive that he took one of his sets of dog tags and he threw it in with the dead as they buried him, because he wanted to be determined that somebody would know that he was there. In 1943, he and a bunch of other soldiers were transferred to Japan, where they were forced to work for the Japanese in terms of doing their war preparations. And as he was there, it was still that letter, that sense of love that he held on to, that helped him survive when others didn't. The bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And after the bomb was dropped on Nagasaki, POWs woke up to find that there were no Japanese in the camp. They had simply left. And so as they walked out of the prison camp, what they found was a stunned people in Japan who really just didn't even acknowledge their presence. And as odd as it seems, they just simply boarded a train and headed to Tokyo, where they ran into the U.S. forces that were coming ashore. Now, before the bomb was dropped, those dog tags were found. And so Glenn's family was informed that he was indeed dead. When he got back to the United States, he was in San Francisco. And so the first thing he did was he found a phone and he called home, and his mother answered the phone. And he said, "Hi, Mama, it's Dowling," which was his middle name, which they all called him. And he said there was a pause and a strange noise, and then the phone went dead. And then another voice came on the phone, and it was his aunt, his mother's sister. And he said, and she said, "Who is this?" And she said, "Hi, it's Dowling." And there was a pause and a noise, and the phone went dead. And then there was another voice, and it was his sister, and he said, "Hey, sis, it's Dowling." And the same noise occurred, and the phone went dead. And then finally his father picked up the phone and said, "Who is this?" And he said, "Papa, it's Dowling." He said, "Well, you got to wait a minute here, because I got three women laying on the floor, and I got to get them up, because each one of them had fainted." And so when Dowling got back home to Alabama, he made an inquiry about that girl. And he found out that she was to be married the next day, because for about 3 years she thought that he was dead. And he said it was that night that the nightmares began. Night after night after night. Nightmares surrounding his captivity. Nightmares surrounding the war that he had fought. Nightmares surrounding the ill treatment that he saw others had to go through and that he himself went through. Night after night after night. He went to the VA and talked to some psychologists there, and back then, psychology wasn't quite as tuned as it might be today. And they told him, "Well, you know, if you act normal, you'll be normal." That didn't help much. And so the nightmares continued. And despite the nightmares, he found a woman, fell in love, had three children, started his own company. But he struggled night after night with this horrible hatred that he had developed for the Japanese, a hatred that was well justified, but a hatred that had filled the void that was created when he found that his love was gone. In about 30 years, he began to re-explore the faith of his childhood. And it was a pastor that he encountered that talked to him about the power of love. And talked about living in light and not living in darkness. And it was when Glenn Dowling Frazier found a way to put the hate aside and to forgive his captors that he found that once again he could sleep. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." But it goes on to say later on in this gospel about being children who live in the light, not in the darkness. Because the light is what overcomes the darkness. The light is that love that God blesses us with. That light is what sustains us and upholds us. It is that light that makes us unique individuals within all of humanity, because it makes us truly children of God. It is the darkness that can overcome us. It is the darkness that runs into our lives when we find ourselves filled with hate, filled with prejudice, filled with jealousy, filled with, I can't think of that word now, but filled with all kinds of things that tear down relationships, filled with those things that so weigh us down. It is when we live in the light, when we live free of judgmentalness, free of prejudice, free of hatred, when we free ourselves from those, then we truly live in the light and the love of God. It took 30 years for Glenn to understand that. 30 years of living mired in the darkness. God gives us that opportunity to live in the light here and now, to live in the light despite what may have taken place within our lives, to live in the light despite what our prejudices might be, to live in the light despite how we might judge what other people are or are not, to live in that light that God has blessed us with. For when we live in that light, when we truly know and understand the love that God has given us through His Son, we are children of the light, and we have a choice. We can live in darkness, or we can live in light. Take the choice to live in the light. Amen.